right. So the last few weeks, we've gone through Matthew and Luke and John, looking at the birth account of Jesus during this time of Christmas. And I tuned in last week, Sunday, online. Didn't Pastor Alice do a great job? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God that God poured out his spirits on his sons and his daughters to prophesy, to be anointed to speak. Just saying. All right. And one of the things that Pastor Alice brought out in John, the first chapter, was that Jesus was the light of the world, the life of the world. And we're going to pick up that theme today, not from John chapter 1, but from John's epistle, same author, and really some of the same things today about how we live out this life with him. In John chapter 1 that you saw last week, just a real quick review, verse 9, it says, speaking of Jesus, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, the Jewish people, and his own people did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave them the right, another translation says the power, to become children of God to those who believe in his name. How many people in this room, you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior? So he gave you the right, he gave you the power, and it happened, to become the children of God. And then he explains how that happened. What does it mean to be a child of God? In verse 13, who, that's you and me, children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. That means people decided to give birth. That's how it happens naturally. Nor of the will of man, but of God. The New Living Translation's there. It says, they are reborn, a birth that comes from God. So we are born again, John chapter 3. It is interesting that that word, born again, became more popular in the 70s and the 80s. And it was popular because it came from the Bible. But people would refer to some of us, and some of you were around back then, they would say, oh, those born again types. Those born again Christians. As opposed to just the other kind of Christians. Well, how many know when we read the Bible, there is only one Christian, and it is a born-again Christian. Now, there might be Christians who don't know that term, but if they believe in Jesus fully in their heart, and they're in the kingdom of God, they are reborn Christians. So we see that Jesus came to give us a second birth, a spiritual birth. And John, in his epistle, he makes two phrases that are very common throughout that whole epistle, is that we who are born again, we walk in the light and we walk in love. Walking in the light, walking in love. You could say maybe they're synonymous, but he pulls out different things and looks at them in different ways. And so those of us who are born again, we walk in a different way. We have a new lifestyle. We have a new mindset. We have a new way. And so as a believer, the rest of our life as a believer, it's understanding that way and that walk and living it more and more purposefully and more skillfully and more from our heart, and then helping other people to walk with us and to follow Jesus, walking in the light and walking in love. All right, so let's go over there to 1 John chapter 1. And I'm so glad Pastor Moffat and Pastor Benjamin reminded me this morning that we actually started 2023 in 1 John. All right, and so we're kind of finishing as well in 1 John. But let's read this text. And then I really feel so strongly that the Holy Spirit has some things to minister to you today. 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say, everybody say, if we say. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk, everybody say, if we walk. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say, everybody say, if we say. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say, everybody say, if we say. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. All right, so the first thing in chapter 1, verse 5, we see is that, so walking in the light means that we're walking in the light that God himself is. So God is light. And then to clarify that, it says, in this light, in God who is light, there is no darkness at all. A lot of the people that you and I interact with, and even Christians, we see kind of the good and the bad, don't we? And kind of Eastern philosophies have described that, the yin and the yang, the sweet and the sour. Well, the Bible is really clear that that is not God. God is light, and in him, there is no darkness at all. James, in his epistle, who would have been a colleague of John, he put it very, very similarly in James chapter 1, verse 16. He says, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Why did he say don't be deceived? Because you could be. About this very fact. And oh my, too much of the body of Christ is deceived about this truth right here. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good, what kind of gift? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom, meaning with God, there is no variation, no shadow of turning. Even when we were away, we were still getting texts from Zesco. And we had folks staying at our house, and my PH was, because she's sweet and kind, and she said, oh, I wonder if we should tell them that tomorrow there's going to be a loss of power due to what, you know? And then she said, well, I guess if it happens, it happens, right? But we've all had power cuts. We've all had lights that go out. We've also had variations where, ooh, right? And how many of you know when you've got equipment like we have here at church, that is really bad for sensitive. Some of you work with that type of equipment. So there's no variation with God. He is dependable. He is good. He is faithful. He always has been, and he always is. God is predictable in our relationship with him. Aren't you glad? Amen. All right. So I had you say the if we say, if we walk, because in this text, there are quite a number of those phrases that John uses. If we say we have sin, if we say we don't have sin, if we walk in light, if we walk in darkness, then what we see is there are repercussions. There's a ripple effect. There are consequences on the other side of if we. And I know, and I'm so glad to be charismatic, Pentecostal. I'm so glad that the gifts of the Spirit are in operation today. I'm so glad my wife and I are going to take some time tomorrow to pray. Part of that praying will be praying in other tongues, praying the perfect will of God. What a privilege. What an amazing thing. But among us charismatics, Pentecostals, we kind of have a tradition sometimes is, you know, especially on a Sunday like today or next Sunday or a crossover service, Pastor, what's the word for 2024? What's the word? What's the theme? What can I expect? Well, here's what you can expect. You can expect God to be the same. Because he said so. Not because I said so. Because he said so. All right? And here's what I've known and what I've seen in 40 years of following Jesus with other people is 2024 is going to be vastly different for some of you in this room than the person sitting next to you. Vastly different. Why? If you say, if you walk, not everyone in this room is going to say the same thing. Not everyone in this room is going to walk in the same way. So why would I be foolish enough to make a declaration to say this is going to be the best year of your life? Because for some of you, it's not. Not in a crowd of this size, all right? But what I can tell you is God's word will be true, and you can determine to say, I'm going to get on the right side of if I say and if I walk. And we're going to see some of that today. And because if I say or if I walk, then what the Bible said in 1 John, it will happen. It will happen because God said, this is the way life works with me. This is how my kingdom works. All right. So if we say, if we walk. All right. So one thing that it says here in verse 6 and 7, it says, if we walk in darkness, if we walk in light. Now, he is, in John's epistle, he said, my dear children, this is not an evangelistic tract to unbelievers. This is a letter written to Christians. So Christians have, who are born again, born of the life of God, they can determine to walk in darkness. Christians can determine to walk in the light. Please walk in the light. Please, by the mercies of God, God pleads with you. His word pleads with you. I back it up. Walk in the light of Scripture. Walk in the light of his love. Now, two ways that you and I walk in the light. Number one, we walk in the light of God's word. The light of God's word. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Meaning, just like John brought out, we are not stationary. Okay? God doesn't say, your word is a light to my chair. Your word is a bedside lamp to where I'm sleeping. No. Your word is a light to my path. What am I doing on the path? I'm walking, walking, walking in the light of God. How many of you sang that song growing up? Walking in the light. All right. So the path that God has for us is going to be darker or more clear based on how much attention we give to his word. To his word. All right. Psalm 119, same chapter there, same Psalm 130. It says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. All right. So if the entrance of God's word brings light, the absence of God's word brings darkness, brings uncertainty. How many of you have ever tried to walk in your house or in your room when it's dark? All right? And you were certain, okay, I know how to get around my bed. I know how to get to the washroom. I know how to get to the kitchen. I can't see anything. But your sweet spouse or your child or a grandmother put something in your path. Boom. Ouch. Right, then you see what's the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Some of you say, hallelujah, right? We were driving with PH's mom to go see PH's aunt and uncle for a half of a day, and we were driving, and this crazy driver, I was switching lanes, and this guy was just driving like a madman and swerved, and I almost hit him doing 125. And I think I called him a name, and but I told my mother-in-law, I said, oh, I'm so glad you were in the car with me, because I was thinking of calling him something else. If you don't have light, God's word, about your marriage, you're going to stumble. If you don't have God's word and light about raising your kids, you're going to stumble. There's going to be accidents. You will not go well where there's darkness. And so one of the things you can do in 2024 and the rest of your life is saturate your heart with the Word of God. PH and I did something this year for the very first time. We've always spent time with the Lord and read and prayed and different things. But we said, why don't we read through the Bible together as a couple? And she actually got ahead. She's done. I'm finishing today. But it's been wonderful to be able to talk through that. That might be something to do as a husband and wife, is every day, every morning, or every night, whenever it works for you, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Talk about the Bible. Get more of God's word into your heart, into your life. Amen? So read, say, sing. Some of you need a new playlist for 2024. You need a new playlist about what you put into your heart. All right? PH and I had a playlist for 2022 when she was battling cancer. I still listen to, it's on my Spotify, Haley 22. It's still my go-to Spotify list. All right? And it's not singing about people and breakups and silly stuff. Amen? So read through the Bible. So we walk in the light when we walk in God's word. And then we also walk in the light when we practice what we know. We practice, because that's what John was saying, walking in the light. Not thinking about the light, not having bumper stickers about the light, right? But practicing it. 2 Corinthians 6, here's one way we can practice it. 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can unrighteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? So in this context, it's not God who is light. It's not God's word that's light. It's you are light. Didn't Jesus say that? You are the light of the world. So how can you team up with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? There's your verse for 2024. There's your verse right there. Those of you who are courting, dating someone that's an unbeliever, send them a text. What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? Start off your year with a bang. All right. You're laughing. It's not funny. Just do it. Do it tonight. How can a believer be partner with... That's not walking in the light. That's not walking in the light, because if you eventually get married, you're going to have two different playbooks. Because in my playbook, it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church. Husbands, honor your wife. Even though her body might be weaker vessel, she's an equal heir. So that's my, I'm reading that. That's the song I'm singing. And then I'm married to somebody who doesn't even look at this book. They just want to play and slay, right? No, you cannot be unequally yoked. And certainly romantic relationships are not the only relationships. Somebody said this, and it's very true. Show me your friends, and I'll see your future. Okay? So some of you need to recruit light, godly, wonderful people into your life. All right? So, how do you do that in 2024? Be present in your connection group. We have 1,600 people at Miracle Life. Your name is attached to a connection group. No one knows who you are in that connection group because you've never been there. Okay? Be present. Show up. Be there. Well, I don't like them. Find another connection group. Okay, if you go to 10 connection groups and they're all not working for you, there might be another factor. Because I'm telling you, we have awesome leaders, we have awesome people, we have awesome content. Amen? All right. So be present in connection groups. All right? Don't team up with unbelievers. Don't justify disobedience. Don't justify darkness. Okay? Purposefully develop your Christian relationships in 2024. Purposefully develop them. Make them stronger. Put more time. All right. Now let's get to the next if we. Verse 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, wouldn't that be saying, right? So we say we have no sin, or we say, I have sinned. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you say you have no sin, is he faithful and just to forgive you? No. Now, is he still faithful? All right. Do you receive his forgiveness? No, you do not. Because you're saying, I have no sin. Nothing's wrong. It's all good. All right. And so you don't receive the benefits on the other side of that. So it is possible, what John is saying, it's possible for believers to deceive ourselves. How many know we have some other sources of deception around us, don't we? We have the serpent, the snake, the accuser of the brethren, the one who tells lies about God. And while Satan may not visit your room, people whom he has influenced visit your life. Sometimes every day. All right? And so that voice of the accuser, the voice of the tempter, okay? So that's a factor. But the Bible says without the devil, we can actually deceive ourselves. Self-deception. And that's really that's troubling because very often it's not detectable. You don't necessarily know that you're doing it, okay? But it's a possibility. And what is the deception? That if I'm walking in sin, if I'm stumbling, if I'm missing the mark, all the different ways the Bible describes sin, is that as a Christian I say, what? What's the big deal? All right? When you look in the book of Revelation, God wrote, he addressed seven churches in Asia. And one of the common things that he addressed was, you haven't dealt with bad stuff. There's stuff going on that you are neglecting, that you're not addressing, okay? You're ignoring it. And folks, we live in a day, and it keeps getting worse and worse year by year, where the philosophy of the world is that there are no more moral absolutes. There is no more right and wrong. We all live according to our own truth. And so people, you hear about it all the time. You just live your truth. I'm just living my truth. I'm sorry, you're not qualified to make truth. God is truth. God reveals truth. You and I accept his truth or we reject his truth. We don't make up truth. We don't. It's not for us to determine. Okay? So, we can be self-deceived here. But if we turn to him, if we confess, he is faithful and just at the same time. So he is the righteous judge and he's faithful to forgive. And he is faithful to forgive and he is faithful to cleanse. And this was the first impression I had today, was that you're a believer. All of us as believers, we have a past before we believed, right? Or we have times in our believing life where we've stumbled, where we've fallen, where we battled through temptations, and maybe there were times where we did not battle well. The Bible says that so God doesn't tempt us, but with the temptation, God provides a way of escape, right? And maybe there were times in our life in the past where we did not take the way of escape. Okay, we didn't leave our coat with Potiphar's wife. We didn't run. We stayed. Okay? But the Bible says, if you admit, if you realize, if you confess, and one of the things about the word confess in the Greek language is, has this idea, to agree with, to say the same thing. So if God says about me, Walker, the way you're treating your wife, that's sinful. I see from his word, oh, that's sinful. What should my response be? God, I agree with you. I say what you say. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with your word. I'm not going to try to come up with stories or excuses. But I see what you're saying. I agree. I confess. And Lord, thank you for help. Thank you for grace. And what do we receive? Cleansing. And there are believers here, I believe by the Holy Spirit, that's been your lifestyle. But there are things from your past that you remember, that you recall, and you know it happened. And so the enemy or other friends or people might say, I knew who you were. I knew what you did. You remember when Saul became a Christian? And some believers said, hey, he's a spy. Mm-mm. There's no way he's changed. They couldn't believe that he was a brand new person. All right? And maybe some people still treat you that way. You need to be encouraged today that your sins are forgiven. If you've agreed with God, if you've said, God, you know what I did was wrong, there is forgiveness, there is cleansing. Maybe some of you in this room, and when we talk about, you know, marrying people and you realize, you know, Pastor, look, 30 years ago, I didn't know Jesus. My spouse didn't know Jesus. We didn't get married. We didn't get married in the Lord. And my spouse is gone. And now for every application, you know, I don't get to just put man or woman. I have to put divorced when I fill out a bank application. That's my marital status. Forever is now divorced. All right? Whatever your involvement in that mistake may have been, guess what? If you've come to God, honestly, you are forgiven. You are washed. You are a brand new person. And while the world might try to attach a stigma to you, God doesn't attach a stigma to you. Maybe some of you are raising a child that was born outside of marriage. Is that God's plan? No, it never is. Never is God's plan. But you can accept and receive. And you realize, you know what, God, what I did was wrong. and I've talked to you about it, and I've told you, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And maybe you even now, you've grown to the point where you realize what happened and how you made that mistake. You don't have to carry that stain with you forever. You are redeemed. Your child is redeemed. The Bible says they're actually sanctified through your sanctification. Amen. And so the Bible says, a few places just to remind yourself of here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he lists qualities of unrighteous people: fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. It's a list, and there are longer lists in the Bible. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. Something happened to you. And guess what? When you're washed, you're not dirty. You don't carry that stain anymore. One of the amazing, amazing things about the new covenant that we live in, and we have a brand new covenant with God, it is different than the covenant that came through Sinai. Better priest, better blood, better sacrifice, better promises. It's better now. Amen? Some of you in 2024, you may just want to move from Sinai to Calvary. Amen? All right. But one of the things that is so much better, and Jeremiah prophesied this, he saw this, and now you and I live in this, and the book of Hebrews chapter 8 is quoting from Jeremiah 31, and it says in verse 7, it says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, there would be no place had been sought for a second. So we live in that second, the next covenant, all right? A wonderful covenant. But notice all the way down to verse 12, quoting from Jeremiah, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. I don't think that means God, it's been erased from his hard drive. Because Paul remembered his sins, Peter remembered, different ones. But what God is saying is that's no longer going to be the basis of the relationship that we have. I will not be bringing that up to you. There was a time last week, we were with my mother-in-law and my daughter, PH and I, and we went and visited some relatives in the town where I grew up for 18 years. And I was showing them the houses that I grew up in and the sports fields where I achieved glory and honor. And I did. Okay. And shame and disgust and sadness on the same fields. All right. Same pitches. And it was it was wonderful. I showed them the primary school where I went to, and we were just driving around. And you know, my mother-in-law is there. I don't want to shock her or anything. But I also, as I was driving around, I also remember, oh, yeah, that's where, I got into big trouble over here. Right on this corner was where my little brother and I found our first Playboy magazine and got hooked on porn as a kid. This guy's house, yeah, we tried to smoke something. Didn't really work, but, yeah, I tried smoking that thing and all the different sins and lawless deeds, because that's where I was a sinner. Other places I've lived, I wasn't a sinner. I couldn't take a sin tour. Not a very long one. Okay? And then a couple days later, our son drops us off at the airport, and I see how he treats his wife, and I just welled up in tears realizing that my life should not be as good as it is. It's only by the mercy of God. It's only by the grace of God. It's only by the forgiveness of God. It's only by becoming a new person in Jesus Christ. The trajectory of my life was headed toward ruin and destruction. But God, who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2:4. All right. And so, friends, you need to know that your life is different and your future is different because your sins are forgiven. The Bible says they're blotted out. Isaiah said, though your sins were like scarlet. And we think, scarlet, what's the big deal with scarlet? It was a dye in that day and age that was permanent. Okay? Not our blessings will be permanent. Our scarlet will be permanent. Okay? You couldn't reverse it. And God said, though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. I'll make them like the clean sheet again. Impossible to do without God. Amen. If you confess. And so the Holy Spirit wants to know, for those of you that have, and you have come clean to God, friend, your future is not based on your past. Your future is as bright as the promises of God. Amen? Now, but there is another if. There is another if. Okay? And in verse 8, it says, if we, Christians, if we say we have no sin, again, and the implication is, and we do, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar, and his word is not in us. All right? So, the Holy Spirit wants to encourage some of you that are Christians that, and I hesitate to use this word, battling. You're battling with sin, because there may be some Christians in this room. You're not battling. You've waved the flag of surrender. You just say that's just the way it's going to be. I can't overcome drinking. I can't overcome smoking. I just can't seem to overcome sleeping around. I can't seem to overcome stealing and cheating and lying and deceiving. You don't even know how many SIM cards you have. NAPSA says, you know, please use your registered SIM card. You just change them every time you're running from debt collectors. Okay? Or you are here, and it really is a battle, and you're frustrated, but you feel, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm winning. Okay? Here's the temptation, is that we stop naming sin, sin. Okay, if we say we have no sin, sin is missing the mark. It's missing God's standards. It's missing what he says. Well, yeah, Pastor, you know, look, my wife really makes me mad. And sometimes she needs to be slapped around. And she needs to learn to honor and respect me. You know what? Maybe she does. But not from the back of your hand, sir. That's not how God treats you. That's not how you treat your wife. All right. So if you say it's not a sin, then you're not going to get help. And it's going to get worse. And the destruction is going to be greater. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I was just going to preach a nice little sermon today. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Holy Spirit stopped me. I told my wife, because he wants to help you. He wants to help you. He loves you. You are his child. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects. He disciplines. He doesn't ignore. If he ignored you, then you would be like an illegitimate child. You'd be like a child without parents. Okay, but you're not. You have a father who knows and a father who cares. You have a father who speaks to your pastor to say it needs to change. And here's the first place it changes. Here's the first place. Call it what God calls it. Don't rename it. Well, Pastor, I have an issue. What's your issue? Oh, your issue is sin. Sin is not an issue. Okay? Manchester United they've got issues, right? Those are issues. Right? Your business may have a cash issue. Your business may have a sales issue. Those are issues, right? No, if it's sin, let's just admit it. Let's just call it what God calls it. It's sin. All right? And if you are, you know, if you owe 10 people around Lusaka money, you don't have a loan problem. Just be honest and say, God, I'm a thief. I'm a thief. I take other people's money and I use it. And I don't ever repay them. I am a thief, God. There was a guy in our church years ago, Charles O'Shea. He was from West Africa. Had this strong accent. And he was part of an NGO, and he happened to be the financial head of it. Millions and millions of dollars. And when he arrived in Zambia, and he was from Cote d'Ivoire, and he got everybody together, and he said, I just want to tell everybody a warning. I know there are possible thieves. There are thieves here. He said, how do I know there are thieves? Because I myself am a thief. Before I knew Jesus, I was a thief. And I can smell you. I can see you. I know you. And if you want to change, you can change. But if not, I'm coming for you. And he did. I don't know how many people he fired. 3, 4, 5, you know. He was ruthless. All right. But let's not see, the world that we live in loves to stop calling sin, sin. Well, don't judge me. No, let the word of God clearly show you where you stand. Okay? Let the word of God clearly show you where you stand. You know, it's so fascinating in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians says, to the saints at Ephesus. Not to the saints and sinners, to the saints. And then after telling us what God did for us in Christ and that we've been raised together with him and we're seated in the heavenly places and all this incredible positional truth, then he begins to say, those of you who are stealing, stop. Those of you who are lying, stop lying. Speak truth to one another. Why did God have to tell saints to stop lying, to stop stealing, to stop sleeping around? Because they were. They were, and they are. Okay? But the first step is coming clean. It's coming clean. Now, some of you may have heard what's called a 12-step recovery program, Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a lot of other programs that have been based on that. And there's some biblical components in it, some could use some more, but their first step of the 12 steps is to say, hi, my name is Walker, I'm an alcoholic. That is to admit, I have a problem. I have a problem. And right now, some of you may say, oh, no, Pastor, look, I don't have a drinking problem. Other people have a problem with your drinking. You are rude, you are violent, you are out of control, it takes you away from the home, you're spending money that you don't have. No, it's not a problem. It is a problem. It is a problem. And the sooner you say, not just a problem, it's a sin, are you intoxicated? The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with wine. If you are intoxicated, then you are disobedient to Scripture. I'm not mad. I love you too. I'm really sad. Because I've had the front row seat of my entire life to see lives destroyed by drunkenness. The pain and families ripped apart. Why? Because Johnny Walker is better than Oros? It's not. Switch from Mosey to ginger ale. It's bubbly. It looks the same. It's quite refreshing. Okay? But see, if we say we have no sin, Christians, other people know I'm a thief. Other people know I'm a drunk. Other people know I sleep around. Other people know my word is not, it's not as good as the dirt we walk on. Other people see it. Other people just realize it. Oh, there's such freedom and joy to come to God and say, God, it's me. I did it. Now, see, here's the funny thing. Most of our hiding is because of people. Most of our hiding is because of people. But you know how many of the people you're hiding from, you're not hiding? It's like playing hide and go seek with my 2-year-old kids. You know, if we were up on the stage, they'd come behind here and they'd say, Daddy, I'm hiding. They close their eyes so they think you can't see them. I'm hiding. So I pretend I can't see them. Well, the other thing is, with God, the Bible says, confess your sins to God. He's the one who knows. He's the God who sees. And so it's actually quite liberating to know he already knows. He is already fully aware. In fact, he's more aware than you are. He's aware of the things that are in your heart that you might not be fully aware of. And he can help you with the things of your heart. Because many, many people who end up in sin, not all sin has the same root, has the same desire. For maybe for some, it's pride. For others, it might just be just pure pleasure. Other, it's greed. And so God can help with the cleansing and the help of your heart and your motives. But he can only help those who come to him. Who come to him. Now, there's another side of this. In James 5, it says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Not forgiven. We don't absolve one another. I don't have power to absolve you. No man does. No woman does. No office on the earth has that. Aren't you glad Jesus is our high priest, all right? He absolves you. But the Bible says to confess your faults one to another, not that you may be forgiven, but that you may be healed, helped, that pieces can come back together. To expose that to people. And so that's why we have a gazillion things around Miracle Life. From Alpha to Changes That Heal to School for Life classes to recovering from divorce and grief recovery, from connection. All these places where you can be with a group of people who love you and know you and say, you know what? I'm so tired of this drinking issue. And they'll fight for you. They will fight with you. They'll call. They'll pray. You won't face it alone. Right? Some of you need to change your allegiance from Liverpool to Connection Group, and you will never walk alone. All right? You can have a Liverpool jersey and walk alone. I promise you that. All right? Join a Connection Group. You will not walk alone. Share your hard times. Share your struggles. Share your sins. Oh, and God will lift you up. There's cleansing. There's help. How do I know? Because God's helped me. I'm not just preaching from a book. I'm preaching from a book that has worked in my life. I wasn't particularly a good husband in the first few years. God helped me. I wasn't particularly a good dad in the early years, but God helped me. I wasn't particularly a good pastor, but God helped me. There's help for you. There's hope for you. If you walk. If you say. So let's say in agreement with God. Amen? Let's walk in the light that we have.